Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Nerdcast.
Greetings, my friend. This is the brain of TV's Pinky in the Brain. And you are listening to the Nerdcast. But what you're really listening to are subliminal messages saying, I will obey brain. I will obey brain. I will obey brain. I will obey brain. Yes!
Been a little while and you missed us, but we're back. I'm not even gonna pretend like I know what episode it is. I didn't get ready for it. So
you're so fired. How are you still in charge of this is what I want to know,
because nobody's overthrown me yet. That's how. But anyways, as you can tell, Adam's here, Bob as well, and we've kicked Tyler to the curb, well, at least for one night, and we've replaced him with the much more lovely Matt of O Comic-Con fame.
Oh, thanks.
Much more lovely. So four of us, actually. I think Tyler and never be surprised if you hear a doorbell in the middle of this and Tyler just pops in, which we will welcome him with open arms, of course, because we didn't really kick him to the curb. He's just a busy man. But we're here, we're ready. I was gonna say it's appropriate for June to say we're here, we're queer, we're ready, but we are full support of Pride Month. I don't know. I got to remember this stuff before the month hits so we can do some of those t-shirts like we've done in the past, but I always forget coming up. So people who are listening, who are much more conscious of what's happening in the world outside of video games and movies, which is about what we're about to spend an hour talking about, let us know next May 23rd. I think that sounds good, guys. Drop in here. Give us a heads up. But anyways, May's done. Some big movies that came out, which we'll get to later. But you guys enjoying the start of summer? That doesn't sound
so like physically, like the 900 degrees and then the 70 degrees for 2 days, or it was 101 degrees in Omaha.
I know this dry heat in Colorado. We hit 91 dry heat today. It was just miserable. It was just terrible. I don't know how you guys are surviving out there in the Midwest.
I think
seriously, how are you still in charge? Go away, Iggy. Gosh, it was 100. Yeah, it was over 100 degrees both days this weekend. It's like, oh, I should go out and do something. And I looked outside, and you can just see how hot it is. Like, that's how hot it is. You know, when you can see how hot it is, that's not good.
You know, it's crazy. You all, except for Matt, you all left Kansas, and Kansas was like a nice, cool 85 degrees all weekend long.
Oh, I was driving all weekend with the windows down, 71 degrees on my dashboard thermostat. It was wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. But the weather must have been hot everywhere, because I'll jump straight into it. People were out swimming or something, because the weekend box office is not where you could find many people. We've talked all spring about how amazing this year has been so far and how movie after movie has shocked us with numbers. Obviously, we haven't met really since Solo now, and its second weekend has not had the success we thought we'd see financially, and we'll dive deep into that movie here in a little bit. But nothing really. I mean, we're talking Solo finishing number one with just south of 30 million at 29, and Deadpool number two at 23 million, Adrift at 11 million, and Avengers still there, top four, 10 million before you drop into the single digits. Yeah, Book Club, which 3 weeks out, and then Upgrade, big action movie, first week out, didn't even crack the top five, didn't even crack 5 million. I think people were out swimming. They were at least at the pool across the street from me, because it's been crowded ever since it's open. So,
yeah, 43% drop off from last week overall box office. So, I mean, that's a big dip. I mean, Solo saw a bigger dip, but that's a big dip overall. It's like nobody went to see the movies. Certainly nobody was interested in the stuff that came out last week.
Yeah, there's just really wasn't anything. I mean, we all knew it was going to be a holdover weekend for everything. Yeah, it was just not good. Not good at all.
I thought we'd see more shine, though, from Solo and Deadpool. And it was funny, because the last time we aired was the Friday Solo premiered. And the Adam, Bob, and myself, and Tyler all predicted, was Disney's estimates on Solo good? I think they said 130 to 150 million. We're like, that might be low with the holiday weekend. It might be north of 150, and it didn't even hit the 130 mark. So we were all wrong, by the way.
It barely hit
103 for the 103 for the 4 day weekend, which is just crazy. Like, that's shocking to me.
So the big question on that is, I mean, everybody's talking about, is it because of all the problems that it had during the filming, or is it the Star Wars overload that people just kind of got? Oh, we just had that 4 months ago. I mean,
yeah, Star Wars overload, because I have it tattooed on my forearm here, the Star Wars logo. I mean, Adam, what do you still want the two tattoos of the Star Wars on your body? So I don't know.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's happening this summer for sure.
There you go. Yeah. See, it's hard to say overload, especially for the diehard fans. I mean, we're talking about people that got Jar Jar tattoos before episode one even came out. So for me, I mean, I did see it. I think we've all seen it now. We'll talk a little bit more in detail. We'll definitely give you a spoiler warning before we get there. But for me, I feel I did have some hesitation of excitement. I was never not going to see it, but I did have some hesitation of excitement due to some of the troubles it had. And more importantly for me was are we forgetting The Last Jedi has had some polarizing views on it. Mm-hmm. Like probably the most polarizing views from fans since The Phantom Menace. And I know a lot of the, I don't want to say, Die Hard Sect 1 is giving Die Hard Sect 2 a lot of crap for saying, oh, because it's not like other, like all this stuff. But really, there's a good amount of people who just didn't find it as enjoyable as the other ones. And I'm one of those people. I tried watching it again last month, actually on Star Wars Day at the beginning of May. And it's just a hard sit through for me. There's some wow moments for The Last Jedi, but overall it wasn't that great. And I can tell you what, yeah, I haven't even had time to fully digest that and get around to being like, oh, well, it's a Star Wars movie. Like I have with The Phantom Menace, to where I've just now embraced it because it's like a Star Wars is my family, and it's a family member that you just eventually love no matter how bad it is anyways. Aww. And I haven't even gotten that far with The Last Jedi before they already put Solo out there. But I also think you're crowded as can be right now. I mean, we're talking, what, Black Panther's still on some screens. Avenger, we said, did another 10 million. Deadpool 2, huge success. And I mean, that's just the comic book stuff, you know, so.
Did you guys see any advertisements for Solo? I feel like it didn't get the same love from Disney with all of the advertising that like even Rogue One got. Like I saw that everywhere. And like I'm not seeing any Solo cups.
You have Solo cups at Walmart. You have Star Wars, you have Star Wars paper towels. Best Buy has entire 8-foot sections of just stuff, including the card game that they play in the movie.
Oh, no kidding.
Which, okay. Yeah, on Amazon, it's only $15 right now. I'm ordering it, by the way. And it's everywhere. And the only time I watch anything that has commercials is baseball. And they were definitely showing it through baseball. Okay. And
then, I've kind of been in convention mode, not really paying attention to the real life. So I just,
yeah, it was there. I think it's just because we asked this about a lot of movies, I think, on the podcast. I think so many of us, we don't digest entertainment the way we used to. And so I do think some of the advertising probably has decreased because of that. But if you do go back to those old means, the old channels, actually watching, you know, live television. That's crazy to think of doing that in 2018.
That's crazy but talk.
It's there. And it's definitely, if you go to stores instead of just shopping online, like I said, it's all over Walmart. It's all over Best Buy. It's all over, well, not all over, but I saw some stuff at Target as well. So but then again, too, I have two children. And so I go to the toy areas and see a lot more of that than maybe, you know, other adults do. I don't know, unless you guys hang out in the toy section.
You don't know how often I go to the toy section.
I go to the toy section.
Every time I go into a Target, I walk down the Star Wars toy aisle. Are you kidding me?
Very fair. Very fair. I actually went to Walmart without the kids this past weekend and ended up in the toy section. Actually, both Walmart and Target, just saying. So long answer short, yes. Yes, there was advertising.
Okay. And I mean, just like, again, I was curious.
I would like to know, you bring up a good point though there, because I kind of mentioned it with people changing the way they digest stuff. I'd like to know what studios have done to those types of budgets or how they're focusing their advertising now. Because you think over the past 2 to 3 years, especially, they've had to really sit down and plan that in detail on changing it. And we're seeing a lot, we talked about last episode, seeing a lot more of that viral type marketing. That's very exciting. Like Jurassic World is definitely getting crazy on that, with Amazon driving around the 18-wheeler with a giant box that supposedly has a T-Rex in the back. Then of course the my service animals of a lost raptor where the two try to board a plane with the velociraptor in the kennel. So, I mean, a lot more fun stuff like that's happening because it gets people to go to it as opposed to you having to put it in front of them and them just ignoring it for 30 seconds.
They did a good job with the Jurassic World for the first one, the website you could go to and watch like the cameras around the park and stuff like that. And I mean, so they've done a good job. Lots of people are doing good jobs. I'm with Matt though. I mean, other than movies and the previews, I didn't see a bunch of solo stuff. And so maybe it's not as out there as you see it. I mean, you've seen it obviously, but some of us didn't. I don't know. And I'm with you also. I was never not going to see the movie. So,
but it's kind of strange. I mean, because usually you would expect that from a Star Wars movie, and yeah, you see tons of Deadpool stuff. You saw tons of Avengers. So why wasn't there that with Star Wars? I mean, that's the thing that's, you know, I mean, I did see a lot, but not like Last Jedi or Force Awakens. I mean, that was just market saturation on those two.
Yeah, so is it the standalone movie? Because I definitely remember a bunch for Rogue One.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it, were they hedging their bets a little bit?
I'm wondering if
we'll make and we'll call it good. We won't spend too much trying to increase that number. We'll just let it be what it is.
I mean, the fact that they're saying that the budget, including the studio advertising, was like almost $450 million. That's the thing, because they had to go back and redid. They redid about 85% of that film. They refilmed it once Ron Howard took over. So that literally doubled the budget of the filming. And so maybe that's why they probably didn't put as much money into the advertising. They hope that, hey, it's a Star Wars movie, people will come and see it. But, you know.
Yeah, because just shipping toys is not advertising. Sure, yeah. They're in the store and people are talking about them, but that's not advertising.
No, that's a good point, though.
It's driving the people that are going to get there anyway.
Yeah, very good point. Maybe some of that marketing budget went to the reshoot, ended up in the reshoot budget. The other part too is I think at that point, it's like they've announced, you know, the updates to Star Wars Celebration next year. They've got the new Star Wars parts of the theme parks coming. They've got all this happening. Maybe they're just like, you know, we're the whole universe, even if this doesn't just destroy at the box office, you know, Star Wars is still a plus for Disney. Like they're not worried about it. They're not worried about one of their spin-off movies doing, you know, in technical terms, bombing at the box office, making less than it costs to make. So, and at the end of the day, over the next 40 years, how many times are going to get re-released on some kind of home video format? You're going to see.
How many times are they going to drive the different of a new format just for this movie?
And how many times will I buy it? Every time.
Every time.
Just one less than Bob, because Bob will find a way to buy it more than every time.
Yep. I guess my question is going to be, how are the future Star Wars? I mean, they're talking about, I mean, they signed the cast for 3 Han Solo movies, from what I understand.
Oh, wow.
How is this going to affect Boba Fett? How is it going to affect an Obi-Wan standalone or Orlando standalone? Is it going to...
Well, before we get into that, because I want to cover a few other things quickly before we throw the spoiler flag up and possibly scare away a few of the listeners. So I do want to dive into that because you're exactly right. They are under contract, that cast, including surprise members of that cast, are under contract for 3 movies. Not 3 solo movies, but 3 movies. So that's why I do want to dive deep into that, because there's a lot of flexibility with them not being committed to a solo trilogy, but 3 movies. So real quick, there were a few things, like I said, I do want to cover before we throw the spoiler flag up, because we're going to spend the majority of the time there. Just for those that are listening, warning, we're going to spend a good chunk of it on Deadpool and then a good chunk of it on Solo. And we will be throwing out spoilers now that it's been a few weeks. But Jeff Johns updated his Twitter cover photo for Wonder Woman 84. So a lot of belief that the sequel could still be a little bit back in time, a lot further in time than the first one. only problem I see there is in Justice League, Batman making it very clear to Wonder Woman about her sitting out of life basically for the 100 or so years. It's the only problem I see there. Maybe it has different meaning, but we've gotten a lot to know about the Wonder Woman movie, including Kristen Wiig as our villain, and now possibly a title. Oh, Matt's rolling his eyes. I want to hear your opinion on this, Kristen Wiig, the villain.
It's just I feel like there's a better casting. I don't really have a huge opinion on it, but I feel because she's the I'm drawing a blank on her name now. The beast person, right?
Oh, she's Cheetah.
So
here's my problem with her. Gal Gadot is literally an Amazon. Like, she is literally an Amazon. She is huge. She's former military. She perfectly cast. Is Kristen Wiig that big? Like, is she that tall even to match this? Like,
Kristen Wiig's pretty tall.
Okay. I'm not being sarcastic. I'm really asking because, like, I feel like if there's a foot difference there, we're gonna have some problems. So
she just has to be faster because she's a cheetah. But fair no, like enough, seriously though, I do feel like there might, I don't know. I feel like there might be a different casting call that I would have made, but it's fine.
To me, it almost feels like a throwaway villain. Like she's not the main villain. She's gonna be there, and there's gonna be some scuffles between the two of them, but she's not really going to be the driving force, the main antagonist, I don't think.
So I'm okay with this. And the reason I'm okay with this is because, one, DC needs to do something different than Marvel, as opposed to just being a dark, scary world different. They need to do something different. And that's the thing with Marvel. We've talked about, you know, Black Panther losing an amazing MCU villain, you know, in the first movie, which actually they're already falling back on that because, well, you know, you never know for sure if he dies in the end. He pretty much dies, but you are in Wakanda. He could have easily been saved. And you had Loki, who ended up becoming the darling, and so they had to get creative. Luckily, Loki is known for faking his death, so it worked out very well. But, you know, Cheetah is one of Wonder Woman's main nemesis. And this is like a Joker to Batman, or more accurate, a Lex Luthor to a Superman, because Joker is probably DC's finest villain ever. And if you just have her there in a few movies as kind of somebody that creates conflict and then grows as a person and isn't your main one that she just defeats and then she's done, I could accept that.
By the way, breaking news, Kristen Wiig is 5'5".
Ah. Oh yeah, see how tall is it? Look up how tall is Gal Gadot, because that's got to be close to a foot difference there.
Okie doke,
those are gonna have to be some big ass
she's gonna get the cool like running cheetah shoes. Yeah, that's gonna add at least a few inches.
5'10".
That's it?
Is it?
Man, she seems so tall. I don't know,
she's the one who wears the big heels.
Yes, yeah, well that too. I guess I'm thinking camera angles. Camera angles, that's right.
She's opposite Chris Pine through the whole first movie. So.
Very, very true. There, so. Perfect.
You're still 6 inches shorter than me.
So there, you do have, like I said, possibly more going on with the Wonder Woman movie, which is exciting because that's further out than the Aquaman movie, and we know nothing about Aquaman. Like, we know nothing that's going on that's about it, and that it's done filming. That's the only thing we know. But then again, you know, Wonder Woman has been the single ray of hope so far for the DC cinematic universe. So obviously they're going to let some things leak and some announcements happen in order to keep
They have to.
Oh, yeah, because that's how do you keep this interest in the DCU?
Because there ain't going to be another Justice League.
Yeah, well, we'll see. So it's – And on top of that, you got the Batman, which is just riddled in issues too. Ben Affleck's there 1 minute and then he's gone the next, if it seems like so. And then he's back and then gone. So
right. I wouldn't be surprised if they put out a movie that's half Jake Gyllenhaal, half Ben Affleck. not dressed as Batman, but them differently as Bruce Wayne. And everything.
Dumped it, you're right.
Okay, cool. I guess let's do that.
I'd watch it.
I would totally be down. They could get creative. Just bring in Terry Gilliam and do it Dr. Parnassus style. They kind of go through the portal and it's each different actor that was playing Heath Ledger after he passed. So it could work. But sticking with comics, not official at this point, and it's only rumors, but it's been a long time because these two have kind of been at each other's throats for a while. But back when I was younger in the comic world, we used to get a lot of DC Marvel stuff all the time. We used to get a lot of crossover anyways. I have my Witchblade Justice League graphic novel where they teamed up together. But DC Marvel, including the complete crossing of characters to where you merged characters to make them for certain series in the 90s, they were a lot more friendly than they've been of late. Movies are driving their money. Like DC and Marvel are making money based on the movies. They Marvel has even openly admitted, we will pay name artists and writers to take on these characters that are getting popular on the screen and lose money paying them more than what these titles are selling just to keep it all kind of together. So the comic side of things, what I'm trying to say, obviously, is not as successful right now. So maybe some wild cards are out there, and the talk is us possibly seeing some DC Marvel crossovers.
All I want to see is an Access movie. Just, you know, a movie all about Access and his homelessness, keeping the two worlds separated.
Give me Darkclaw. I want some Batman mixed with Wolverine there. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That was pretty awesome.
I'd be in with it.
There you go. We were actually talking about this. A fellow friend of yours as well, Matt Hawley, posted something about her son saying a thing. And it made me think of that too, the crossover, the comics. And we were like, well, what was this one with Storm and Wonder Woman? What was that title called? And we couldn't figure it out. You go Google it. Oh, it was very creative. It was called Amazon, obviously.
Of course. Yeah.
Clearly. So. But I don't know. Would you guys pick it up, read anything, or be interested in it at all?
I want a whole crossover series that pits the characters that they have that are basically the same person or very clearly, you know, rip-offs of one another. Like, buddy them up, buddy cop comedy, and just total team up for every single one of them. So you get Deadpool and Deathstroke.
When you said buddy cop, that was the first two I thought. When you said buddy cop, I'm like, you got your two right there, Wilson and Wilson.
Wilson and Wilson Detective Agency, and just let them go about their thing, and I'd be on board.
And the amount of fourth wall breaking jokes about them being copies of each other would actually be fantastic for that one.
Yeah, so I mean, I would take the whole series, just that's all you get. Each issue is just a different grouping of or pairing of the ones that they have that are basically the same character, and just everybody admitting, yeah, we did this. This is a thing. You all knew it, and now it's a real thing.
So movies, comics, real quick, video games as well. We haven't really talked since it announced, but Nintendo announced for the Switch coming this holiday season a new Pokemon game that not only can interact and mix with your Pokemon Go app, but also is supposed to feature a Pokeball controller. That's probably going to lead to a lot of broken screens, but if you're able to not break your screen, pretty excited about it. My daughter, obviously thrilled, because one of them features Pikachu and the other version of the game features none other than Eevee. So she's ecstatic, obviously. But new Pokemon for the Nintendo Switch. Like I said, interacting with your mobile game, everything like that. This is huge. Nintendo Switch is, you say about time. They've been doing all right without it. Like I feel like they could have held it for another year and still been fine, because people were going to buy the systems. Because I think this winter you get that. You get Smash Brothers this winter as well. And then I think there was one more.
Dark Souls, right? So it
almost feels like you... If you've got a Switch or you're getting a Switch, you're going to have a great holiday season. That's all I can say. I don't know. But I'm pretty stoked to see it interact with the Pokemon Go app. Not to give anything away, but my kids can get excited for a Switch in a few months. It's not like they listen to this anyways. But birthdays are coming up in a few months, just in time. And I know my son's been back on the Pokemon Go app a lot lately. So
now that it's finally warm enough to go outside.
Right. So because it's been winter for like 20 months, but exactly. So more exciting game news there to go. This is, I think, a lot more exciting than the Call of Duty news we talked about last time.
You're just going to gloss over the fact that Bethesda had a Twitch live stream for 24 hours that had 170,000 viewers at most of the time for a Fallout announcement.
Oh yeah, Fallout. I'm sorry.
Mean, just like we're
just running right past it.
Fallout 76.
We talked about it earlier before you joined
Man, I should not have bought a second game system this week. Nintendo's going to be the third game system. Yeah, this holiday season is starting to look. It's a good thing I get an extra paycheck in November. Also,
new Fallout, and then more Bethesda news. Elder Scrolls Online drops their newest update. I try to remember which one it is. Somerset. New DLC from them. If you didn't buy the first one but you already own the game, you can get the new DLC for $30 with the first one, Morrowind. So you get both of them for $30, which is not bad. If you don't own Elder Scrolls Online, you can get the whole game for $40 right now. So really good deal there, because that's the game and two DLCs for $40. I think maybe it's $50, something like that. Either way, it's a really good deal. So if you're into the Elder Scrolls games and like MMOs, check out Elder Scrolls Online this week. That dropped the 5th.
Do you play it?
Actually, no, I don't like that game.
I don't know anybody who does, and it made me sad because I enjoyed it for the, like, right up until like raiding happened, and then it was like, oh well, I don't know anybody to play
with. Don't have anybody to do it.
Could see the excitement on Matt's face, thinking he had somebody.
I thought I might have had a friend.
I'm sorry, buddy. So like my friend, I've got a group of friends that I game with, and one of them's like, I'm gonna get back into this because I got the new DLC coming, and so we played for like 3 hours last night, and the whole time I was just like, I don't want to play this anymore. but my friend wants to play it, so I'm trying to enjoy this game, and I just don't.
You're a good friend, Adam.
Good friend. And then, speaking one more thing on the video game world, speaking of download content, if you do have FIFA 18 or want to pick it up, just this week, the World Cup add-on download content became available, and it's free for all the systems. So basically, you get updated to just be thrown into the Russia, World Cup in Russia. So you get the actual, you can set it up, or obviously you can put your country in there too to replace one of the ones, but you get the actual stadiums, fixtures, everything like that. So pretty cool, as the World Cup's just around the corner. And I know Adam especially gets really excited about that every year. So, all right.
Oh yeah, that's super exciting for me.
So we're here. Now Bob can get excited, because I see him. He was waiting to dive deep into that. But we have hit the spoiler wall. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you have not seen Deadpool 2, I think we should start there, since it's been out a little bit longer. And then we will jump into Solo. So, again, spoilers going forward for both Deadpool 2 and Solo. If you haven't seen them, press pause, go watch those movies, then come back and resume listening, because we always appreciate your listening. But Deadpool 2, now 3 weeks out.
Yes.
We recorded since. The three of us that were on the episode that saw it really enjoyed it, but we couldn't really go into detail at the time. I hope Tyler has seen it by now. Matt has as well, so we are diving in. But Deadpool 2, Bob, just blurt out the spoilers you wanted to blurt out last time. Go for it.
No, let somebody else do it.
X-Force suit. Oh my God, it was the best, hands down, like, it was the best thing that I have seen in any Marvel movie as a call out to, to what they were. As the entire gray suit that just happened because of the flames that just burst out. It was perfect, it was spot on, and like, if you didn't know that his X-Force costume was gray, You just thought it was cool looking, and then if you did, you were like, ah!
Exactly, yeah, you picked it up right away that he got an explosion towards the end, so the Deadpool costume goes from red to gray, and as Matt pointed out, for those familiar with the X-Force, long time, Deadpool wore the gray suit with the X-Force, and it was a great way they did that, to where when he got up, and I was just like, that was a pretty clever way to switch the suit there. And most importantly, is he didn't even acknowledge it.
Like, he didn't acknowledge it at all.
Because every other moment he had a chance to, Ryan Reynolds broke that fourth wall or acknowledged the fact that he was in a movie. And yeah, that if my complaint, and we talked a little bit last time, if I have one complaint, because what I do want to say is the plot of this movie was far better and deeper than any Deadpool sequel plot had the right being. It was actually a really like meaningful, heartfelt plot. And I even saw some friends post online and I thought the same thing. And they're like, you're going to make me cry in Deadpool 2 when I didn't even cry in Avengers. Like, hold up here. Like, that's almost that point. But the only complaint I have is that Deadpool comics, yes, he breaks the fourth wall. He acknowledges that he's in a comic book. He realizes there's multiple different color bubbles because he has multiple voices in his head. He, you know, somebody will say, hey, when's the last time I saw you, Wade? And he's like, issue 17 or whatever. That happens. But it doesn't happen every page, every issue. And I feel like, and nothing, I don't want to sound like Tyler here, nothing against the casual fan, but I feel like because the casual fan loves that part so much, that the studio and Ryan Reynolds himself embraced that and just overdid it in the second one. It just felt like every moment was either acknowledging the fact they're in a movie or breaking the fourth wall.
They did lean into it a bit. Like, now that you say that, I can.
A bit. Yeah. Like, a lot. So it was, but it was a good movie. I think we talked about it last time. I think Adam and Bob, you guys both put it in a way that entertainment value, really good. Overall, is like a movie value, good, but not as good, you know, not as fun as the entertainment value would be rated. It's something there. And I still have that. I still, like I said, I got the ticket. I need to go see it a second time. Maybe this week. I said that last time. Maybe this week. I say that every week we record. Yeah, I'll go see it again.
There's nothing coming out this week. You can go see it.
I still got to see Avengers again because I haven't even used that. But Deadpool 2. So continuing on, I mean, let's talk a little bit about, speaking of X. Oh, go ahead.
I'm going to end up with probably this same statement when we watch, when we talk about Solo. Like, if your biggest complaint about it is that they broke the fourth wall a little bit too much, that's a good movie, man. Like, I mean, there's always going to be something to complain about in every movie. But it's just, it's so much fun. And yeah, Reynolds, I mean, I think part of it for me, part of my enjoyment is it from watching Deadpool is knowing how much Ryan Reynolds likes being Deadpool. Like that's enjoyable to me. I want a movie. I want a character or an actor to be that in love with the character they get to play. Like, I enjoy that. And so I'm willing to endure is the wrong word because I don't mind the fourth wall breaking, but I'm willing to give them their eccentricities to get into that character and really love it. And so, you know, for me, that's part of it. But you know, we're talking about some, to me, it's almost nitpicky to come up with, yeah, but they didn't do this perfect. And it's like, well, yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, sure. It's a great movie. Like,
you know, and I'm kind of looked further. I mean, yeah, I think it's a great movie and I think it's very entertaining. You know, I go to that movie expecting those breaks into the, of the fourth wall. I expected it. I expected it to be over the top. I mean, you see that in the preview. You know, I think personally, I think this is a better film than the original because, you know, you got the original, you got to set up the origin and all that kind of stuff. But with this film, like I said, there's more heart to it. You know, and if you notice, like I said, there wasn't the, like I said, any of the sex scene that there was in the original, which was really kind of surprising just because they really,
I don't know if I want to put that in the positives column, Bob.
It's positive for us American parents because we let our kids indulge in violence, but they do not need to see that sex stuff. That's it. Yeah, exactly. So now my son can see the second one, but cannot see the first one. Clearly.
Yeah, cover the eyes. But yeah, I mean, to me, it was a lot more of a solid film than the original. I enjoyed it a lot more. Personally, I almost enjoy it. I liked it more than I liked Infinity Wars. Yeah. Don't you go shake your head at me. Yeah.
Well, I really big-eyed you.
I know. It was like your eyes just about already flew out of your head. But no, I've seen it about three times. And it's one of those movies that you watch. Yeah, don't. Now you're giving me the head shake. It's one of those movies that I could watch and I could see different things different time. I tell you, it was amazing seeing it at Dolby Cinema. I mean, just things just popped out at you. It was just, like I said, I would put that as number one and Infinity Wars a close two. But I'm really excited for X-Force next year, definitely.
So real quick, I want to go back to the American parent comment and make sure everybody definitely was aware I was being super sarcastic, because that is our culture, not me as a parent. But do want to continue back into the movie. X-Force, speaking of X-Force, Matt brought up the Deadpool X-Force suit. Bob, you just brought up that the next movie, Deadpool 3, is X-Force. I mean, they've Ryan Reynolds has said it. Everybody at Fox has said it. They even made reference to it in the trailer as a joke. You know, why do a 3? You know, 2 is going to be so good. So X-Force, we get a trailer full of characters. We spend all this time figuring out who these people are cast as. We get secrets. We get a massive cameo even. We even get a fantastic cameo, which took Ryan Reynolds hand-delivering coffee to Brad Pitt to get him into that movie for 3 seconds. But
with a cup of coffee.
Right. But all those characters, they're just dead because of High Winds. They make reference to High Winds today like 4 times until it happens. I'm like, how did I not pick up that 4 different characters that brought up High Winds, that something bad was going to happen with that? And every character, except for Deadpool and Domino, die on the way to the first battle. So you lose, which I was really excited for. Well,
she's lucky, man.
I know. I was really excited for you because she'd Shatterstar in the background. I was stoked for him. You had Terry Crews as Bedlam. You had, I mean, you even had you had some big name. Skarsgård as Zeitgeist. You had some big name actors. And even the fan favorite out of the trailers, what was his name? Paul?
Peter,
sorry. Yeah, even he's gone quickly. So it was a pretty amazing scene, because they basically just did what no other superhero movie does. And we were just in awe a month earlier. I can't believe it. The Russo brothers just killed off Marvel characters like that after 20 movies, after 10 years. And here was Deadpool doing it in the second movie, the first introduction of these big name X-Force characters.
And let's not forget the Vanisher.
Vanisher. That was your Brad Pitt too, yes. Which was fantastic. Wonderfully done. He may not even be here yet. That's true. He might be right. But these are not just random characters that we got some there was a time Zeitgeist ran X-Force. Shatterstar, not only was he huge in the 90s, even recent time, they've made him one of Marvel's homosexual characters who's become a beacon for pride and everything like that. These aren't just,
they're not throwaways.
They weren't just all Peters, like just, hey, let's poke a joke and throw somebody out there. These were named characters that Fox has the rights to and basically just use them for 3 seconds with some big name actors. And then, as you brought up, Domino survives, which brings me to my next thing there.
How great was Zazie Beetz?
That's what I was just about to say.
For real,
more
though.
Domino, like, please.
So great. I would watch that movie. I would watch a movie. Like, I've always made fun of Domino as being, you know, like long shot. Like, it was good.
She was fantastic. And the play of Deadpool and Domino with the luck thing. I mean, you saw it in the trailer some, but
not a superpower
into the movie, and it was perfectly done and not cinematic and perfectly cinematic, and it was fantastic. And her fighting Cable, everything that went on. Yeah, I was like, more Zazie Beetz, please. Just give me a Domino movie.
Well, how good is Josh Brolin's face, like, when in that fight scene, when all those things keep happening? He's just like, What? It's perfect. You can tell exactly what he's thinking that whole time as they're fighting, and he's trying to do something. He's like, "Wait, no, I am the best fighter in the world." Like, and nope.
And yeah, I think it was just very well cast, and I liked Brolin as Cable. We started to talk about it last time. My complaints in the review were Brolin's performance, and I think it's just a number of variables there. You get, like I just brought up, you get Deadpool and Domino's, like, their interactions were just perfect. And they just bounced off each other so well, which, to be honest, in the comics, I mean, those two do very well with that. Where I felt Cable was a little bit more stale. I will give you this. In the comics, obviously, Cable is not as joking as Deadpool or Domino. He's a little bit more serious. However, and then I will give you this as well. Josh Brolin just came off of playing Thanos to me 3 weeks before that. And was incredible as Thanos, as an incredible presence in that Avengers movie. So I maybe those points helped me feel a little underwhelmed with Brolin's performance as Cable. Yeah.
When was the last time you read Deadpool and Cable?
I haven't read it in a while, and they're all on my shelf, and I need to read them. And I know the whole thing with Deadpool on the toilet and Cable, like everything. I need to. I remember Deadpool being a lot more comical, where Cable was just a lot more serious. And that's what I'm saying. I get it.
And that relationship grows. Like, I think everybody seems to remember like the end where they end up, but like their beginning is not. I mean, it's not pleasant. They don't like each other even a little bit throughout like the first three books. Like,
yeah, I wasn't expecting him to be anything like, you know, comical or anything like that. He was Deadpool's straight man. I mean, flat out. I mean, he was the butt of all the jokes. So, you know, it's in X-Force 4, whatever you want to call it. I think that relationship is going to be more on the comical side than anything.
I don't want to have to turn in my card or anything, but Cable is Jean Grey and Scott Summers' kid, right?
First of all, anytime you mention the Summers family with Marvel, nobody has to turn in their card, because remembering how that family tree works, especially introducing the time travel in it.
Yeah. That tree is for sure like braided together. Like, it's not a normal tree.
I will tell you this. All you have to remember is that, yes, Jean Grey and Cyclops and Cable and Hope and Havoc and all related, as well as many others. But yes, there is definitely lineage there. And Cable is from the future, their child, exactly. And comes back in time and becomes like saves them before they. Yeah, it's crazy.
Right. I just thought it was funny with the huge cameo that they did with the Days of Future Past cast in the Deadpool 2 movie, and I was like, I was hoping that there would be a comment or a side comment like Papa, you know, just you know, some sort of Deadpoolian nonsense. But
so quick mention of that in the mansion was Stan Lee's cameo. He was just a painting in the Xavier Mansion, and then as pointed out, Deadpool makes reference to none of the other X-Men ever being there outside of Colossus and Sabrina the Teenage Witch is, I think, what his chosen name for her was this time. But they were actually filming the Dark Phoenix movie that's coming out this fall at the same time they were filming Deadpool. And so the director of Dark Phoenix actually got the cast over there for just like a 10-minute recording scene to record them in the mansion and closing the door so Deadpool wouldn't see them. So yes, that was like that was not even planned for the movie. That was all actually done at the moment while they
actually were they were in another country when they filmed that.
Yeah, it wasn't even on the same set, exactly. Right. There was no planning for it.
That's amazing. I didn't know that. That's some good trivia right there.
Yeah.
So, and you know, go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, when you first saw them, it was like, I didn't even realize that it was James McAvoy and Nicholas Holt. And I couldn't tell. I thought it was like some stunt actors or something like that. But then when you saw it again, you said, okay, yeah, it is the real actors.
And then when you saw it the third time, you could really tell, right, Bob?
Tell exactly which ones are in there. So real quick, so we have some time for Solo as well. Speaking of some good trivia, so if you are a diehard Deadpool fan, Vanessa's death at the beginning is not all that surprising for you, because Vanessa has to die in order to come back as Copycat. And it has not been officially confirmed, but the director has hinted. He said that what's her name, Monica Bracken,
I can't
say is it. Going to be in the X-Force movie. So there's a big possibility we get some Copycat in the next movie. So exciting things there for those that do follow it closely. All right, so Deadpool 2, we have a million more things to say. As always, your comments are welcome, no matter where you're listening to us, whether it be on the website, Podbean, any other areas you find us, because I find us in new places sometimes. So go for it. Let us know what you thought about Deadpool 2. Just hit that spoiler button, as in actually typing out spoiler before you type anything there. So anybody,
was there a button that says spoiler?
That'd be pretty cool if our comments had that. But Solo, also another big one. The weekend after Deadpool 2 came out, we talked about not the success we or Disney or many other people thought they would see from it at the theaters. But I felt a good movie overall.
Absolutely. Like, I've had this conversation 100 times over the last week. The movie was great. It was exactly what I wanted out of, you know, a seedy underbelly. There were a movie. Like, yeah, there were problems. There were a lot of cinematographical problems that I had with, like, shots being too dark or not being able to see everybody, or, you know, like weird camera angles, but that didn't ruin the movie for me.
I have to tell you, that first half of the movie, I sat there just staring. I was not enjoying it at all. You know, that whole train sequence could have been so good. That was the slowest fucking train in the world or in outer space. It was just like, this was just boring. Dare I say it? It was like a Ron Howard movie. It was just, it didn't pick up until they got back, and then Kira showed up again. Oh yeah, there's a spoiler. when Kira showed up again, that and Paul Bettany's character, that's when it started getting good. And I'll be really honest, even the Kessel Run was pretty non-eventful.
The fact that it was the Kessel Run, they could have done it all in dialogue and we still would have been happy. It's the Kessel Run finally on the screen. Like, we've heard about this for forever. Yeah. I don't know. I get what you're saying. The train scene, I felt it was a good setup.
It could have been a good setup.
I think a lot of people whose complaints about it talk about it slow start or troubled start of the movie. If I'm to make a complaint, I'm also saying it's at the beginning, and it's not so much the pace or anything like that with the movie. I felt him as Solo, and I'm sorry I'm dropping his name right now, but Alden Ehrenreich. Why did guys quit having last names like me? Alden Ehrenreich, him as Solo worked for me. I was not as crazily sold on it as other people were. So at the beginning, when you're just getting Solo like crazy, so he's just talking left and right, just a whole lot of them, I wasn't digging him as Solo. Once you started adding in the other characters, you get a little less of him. So he just comes in and makes the typical Solo remarks, almost more like he got forced into the Harrison Ford role of the movie.
Yeah.
Like he got enough crew around him to where it wasn't just a whole bunch of him. I enjoyed him a lot more as the character. In terms of the scenes, I love the scenes. The Kessel Run was exciting because you introduce where the Millennium Falcon gets its weird dialect that C-3PO brings up in, I think, Empire. And you get the Kessel Run actually happening, and you get the joke about, well, if you round down, you know, things like that. I thought it was fun. Definitely, I felt a great movie. Most people, and Matt, you were saying the same thing, had tons of these conversations. So the few people I've talked about it with, their comments were like, didn't feel like a Star Wars movie. Somebody actually literally said to me, I didn't even see a lightsaber in the entire movie. And I was like,
oh my God.
Exactly. That was my response. And I was like, you don't have to have the lightsaber. It was a Han Solo movie, and it was exactly what a Han Solo movie needed to be. It was Western and space. It was a Western.
Two things. All right. First of all, there was a lightsaber in the movie. You know, the huge cameo with Ray Park. Big deal. I mean, come on. The whole purpose of this movie is that it wasn't sword fights and space magic.
Right. It was like a space pirate movie.
The most you really get of the Empire, obviously, is the presence of the ship and chasing them to force the way they did the Kessel Run. And then, of course, the somewhat security stormtroopers on the train for a brief moment. And that's it. Yeah, you don't really deal with all that typical stuff you're dealing with. And I found that a little refreshing for a different movie there too. You do exactly though, the big, I think that everybody has just gone bananas about clearly is the cameo at the very end, which I'm going to be honest, I didn't know was as big of a surprise as it was because of two things. Last year at O Comic-Con, Matt's show, Ray Park said to me, he had to get in Darth Maul shape for a movie coming up. Obviously not The Force or The Last Jedi, because that's way too far in the future. So I automatically assumed Solo was the one it was going there. And then the week of the premiere, I follow him closely now on social media after getting to see him once again at O-Comic-Con this year, you know, in July. It's getting to see him. He was at the premiere. Like, why else would he be at the premiere? He wasn't at the premiere for The Last Jedi. He wasn't at the so I don't know. I felt some things gave that away. So I was excited about it because I love Darth Maul and I love Ray Park. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact knowing that he is also signed on for three movies, as we brought up the three movies earlier. And I also love this little known fact that those driving the Star Wars universe right now have come out and said that Boba Fett and Darth Maul have a very close relationship. And so when we talk about these next two movies and whatever this trilogy ends up to be, whether it ends up being a Han Solo trilogy or it ends up being them showing up in a Darth Maul movie, a Kira movie, the Lando movie, whatever it is, we're going to see some Boba Fett and Maul, and we're going to see them together.
Possibly. I don't want to plug the show too much here, but we've got Daniel Logan coming this year, who's young Boba Fett, and everybody is leaning hard into him being the Boba Fett in the movie. Like
he's got to be. He's got to be. Appropriately. He's got the age right. But no, he's exactly. Wow, dude, you, two for two. The Darth Maul last year and Boba Fett this year,
I'm just saying. And then they'll be in the movie together. But the other thing I was thinking about with the Obi-Wan movie, like, because they're gonna make one, right? Like, they're gonna make one.
They announced the Obi-Wan movie.
Right.
Right.
So
they
announced
the
Darth Maul is a huge part of the interim Obi-Wan lifetime. Right. Huge.
Yeah, as we've seen from Clone Wars and Rebels.
Rebels.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's a lot, and I know we joked about it last time about what do you do with the Obi-Wan movie? Do you have him just sitting out in the desert somewhere aging? But there is a lot you can do with Obi-Wan, and I think there's a lot you can do around the Clone Wars with these characters where, you know, especially when you put these Jedi characters in there, you put, you know, Obi-Wan or somebody like that, there's tons of side missions and tons of things they did that were very important and crucial that could be turned into a whole movie. And exactly, all these characters that we're talking about now are so closely intertwined. And it started here with the Solo movie. So that was a big point you brought up earlier, Bob. Three movie contracts for the characters that played Maul, Kira, Solo, Lando, like obviously Chewbacca, like all the main characters in there. So we're going to get more movies. And it's exciting because I've been reading what could they be? What could they be? And we've got every theory from the Solo sequel being where they meet Boba Fett because they do the job for Jabba the Hutt, and that's how he ends up in the debt, to the Lando movie, so we learn more about him, but all these characters in there, or even what I would love to see, because I thought she was fantastic as Kira, but it was Emilia Clarke doing her own movie, doing a Kira movie, because now you've got, I mean, Kira's, like, the way that ended for her was definitely piquing a lot of interest, and she's going to basically be Darth Maul's apprentice going forward, is what it seems like.
Adam, you need to tell me what you think about that, though, because, like, I was talking earlier off camera, off microphone, about the different characters that all having prominent roles and stuff like that. Like, did you notice? Did you ever feel as like, oh, I have to get invested in this whole new character? Because, like, it took me a while to get past. It's like, oh, look, there's Khaleesi. Oh, look, there's the madam from, you know, Westworld. Oh, look, you know, like, I never. It took me a while to get into it, seeing them not as their other iconic characters.
I mean, I didn't have that problem. I would have liked to have gotten more of the crew's backstory before the train job, before we lose all of them. Like,
so quickly.
Like, it's like, hey, these people are pretty cool, and they're dead. And you're like, oh, okay, well, that's...
it's like boring. X-Force.
Right, I know Han needs his chance, and you need something to give him his chance, and, like, one death would have probably sufficed there. But I think Thandie Newton was doing a fantastic job, and I would have liked to have seen where that character went a little bit more.
Yeah.
I guess that death is the impetus for the betrayal at the end, if you can call it that. But I mean, that death could have come later. It didn't have to happen right then.
I was just getting used to her, and she, there she goes.
Yeah, I mean, that was my only real negative. I absolutely thoroughly enjoyed that movie. It was exactly what I wanted. It was fun. I think the acting was great. I loved the casting once I saw them all in their parts. And I had like serious, serious fanboy for Donald Glover's Lando.
That I was first waiting scene, for someone to say that.
Like that first scene, his cadence, the way he says the words, everything about it is spot on Billy Dee Williams. And it was like, I was a little, like I freaked out, obviously, because it's fantastic. And then I was also like, that's probably not okay. Like, he is way too much Billy Dee Williams. And we got a little, I think a little more Donald Glover's Lando later, who I absolutely loved. But that first scene, man, was just so spot on Lando Calrissian and Billy Dee Williams' Lando Calrissian on top of it. I mean, it was fantastic.
He stole every scene he was in, easily, hands down, to the point where you're saying you had concern. I almost had concern. It's like, we've got to ship Lando off somewhere, or this is like, or nobody's going to remember any of the other characters here because he's that good as that character. It's fantastic. But I agree. The cast was great. And one real quick, because we haven't mentioned Impfis Nest, Aaron Kellyman's Impfis Nest, the whole, I mentioned briefly earlier, this was very much like a Western. And if you like Western and you like science fiction, you like good ones, you're going to enjoy this. Yes, it is very different than your typical Star Wars movie. But in a way, in the Western, especially even when you have two conflicting characters, there was always the Indians that would show up. And that was basically your Impfis Nest and her group. And very well, because you're very much led to believe, especially in the trailers, that this is your villain. This is your main villain of it. You get nothing of Paul Bettany's characters in the trailer. You get no knowledge of this. And obviously nobody, you know, most people had no knowledge of the Maul, Darth Maul leading this whole, you know, the whole Crimson Order. But Bettany was fantastic too. And you talk about, Matt, you brought up these characters that are other people. We just had a lot of Bettany as Vision. And, you know, so yeah, you have a lot of, but these are fantastic actors that know how to play their roles. And Bettany was polar opposite than he is as Vision. And I felt she hasn't been in a whole lot. So I can't say she doesn't get credit, because obviously there's no credit there to give, but Emilia Clarke, I think her role in Game of Thrones is fantastic. She's a wonderful Daenerys. She's captured the character from the book very well. More importantly, I think she faces so much adversity in that show, and you see it in her. You see it the way she's had to grow as a character over the seasons, and she's done great portraying it. And you see her growing as an actress, and she's a completely different character here too. And she is, the confidence level is different. Her motives are different, everything about it. And I just want to see a lot more of her in things too, you know?
Definitely.
What did you, and not to completely shift gears, but this has been something that I've been mulling. What did you think about the shift between, like, we mentioned Lando being great and like how he was his own and all of that, but then we also had a whole lot of hand holding in that first act of like, Solo, what's your last name? Or Han, what's your last name? Oh, I don't have a last name. I'm just Han. And he's like, okay, Solo. Like I felt like there was a lot of like slogging through making you like know things. And then like the second half of the movie was just like, oh yeah, no, we're gonna let Lando just like disappear on the Millennium Falcon. You know, he's just gonna leave. He's gonna leave.
Which was the best, one of the best laughs in the movie.
It was one of the best things about that movie. It was like, oh yeah, no, that's exactly what he should do. Like, yeah.
No, I get what you're saying. It felt like early on there was a lot more handholding, and then you get towards the end and the characters became their characters. And I don't know, maybe that's the difference. Maybe when we learn more about how the film was created, maybe that's where some of the reshooting took place. Maybe a lot of the opening stuff was the original opening stuff before Howard even jumped in, you know, so maybe that's why there was a change in tone there. But yeah, definitely that's a good point to make, because by the end, all of these characters, and I kind of brought up, you know, Alden Ehrenreich at the beginning having some difficulty with him as Solo. By the end, I was bought in. So I felt like all these characters through the movie became these characters, like all these actors became these characters, even ones that were replacing other people. You mentioned, you know, Billy Dee Williams and, you know, obviously Harrison Ford and stuff. And they did a great job. And our boy Ray Park was there. That's what's important too, right?
You know, one thing I've been thinking about is, what is the time difference between the end of this film and the beginning of Star Wars? I mean, is there much of, I mean, because he's going off to Tatooine to join up with Jabba the Hutt. I mean, how long is he working with Jabba the Hutt before he ditches the cargo?
I thought it was something like 10 years.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, and it may just be fans that are saying it, but 10 to 15 years is what I've been hearing.
Okay. That's what I was always been wondering that, and I never really found out anything. So, okay.
Again, we could be going
based looking at timelines is always weird because you get the pre-Disney buyout timeline, in which case all the Han Solo stuff takes place 10 years before the Battle of Yavin, which is...
That's called Legends. Those are Legends.
Those are Legends now, yes. And then you've got the new timeline, and it holds pretty similar. So I think most folks are saying 10 years because you had the Han Solo trilogy in the Legends that took place 10 years before the start of Episode 4.
Ever since X-Men screwed up the timelines, I'm all screwed up with everything.
Right. Yeah. No, they're hard to keep track of. Disney messing up timelines. What can you say?
There you go. All right. So Solo, I think it's unanimous here. Enjoyable. We saw some problems obviously with it, but I think that can be pointed out on any movie. Enjoyable. We recommend seeing it. Of course, if you haven't seen it and you've made it this far, oh well. Sorry guys, you should have caught the spoiler warning earlier. But anyways, just like I said with Deadpool 2, let us know what you thought of Solo. Anywhere comments are welcome. We definitely want to hear more. But with that, again, I think something we could have gone crazy on. I could have spent 30 minutes just on the theories of what we could do with Darth Maul and Boba Fett being, you know.
Oh, dude, but, I think we get at least one Syndicate movie.
What? Oh, gosh, that would be fantastic.
With all of the crime families and, like, in with Darth Maul, they're just leading the... Oh, yeah. I think we get at least one of those in the trilogy.
Let's write it and send it into Disney. There you go. All we need is free premiere tickets. We're happy there.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, again, Deadpool 2, Solo, let us know what you thought. This month, obviously, coming up, I guess, like, in the next couple weeks, you can let us know what you think of Ocean's 8. I don't know.
we're finally caught up with the big movies from May.
Right. Yay. We have what's the big one here in the middle of June? Oh, you have Jurassic World,
Incredibles,
Ant-Man.
And then Incredibles, and then of course in July, Ant-Man and the Wasp. Which the more I watch that second trailer of, the more it looks fun. So
it does look really fun.
So isn't perfect. It weird that you're coming to us to help you, and we're the ones who were robbing for you from the beginning? Remember that? Remember that? That's weird.
That's fantastic. So with that, we bid you adieu. Obviously, catch us next week, same nerd time, same nerd channel. Where we'll talk more geeky goodness. We are